This is Pastor Emery. The 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel prophesy a great invasion by Asian and African armies under Red Russia into the lands of Israel. The description of the Israel land which will be invaded by these communist-led forces is given in Ezekiel 38 in verses 8 through verse 16. I contend the land described for this Russian invasion is America and Western Europe. Current and past history has already shown that we are the final target of red communism. Read Ezekiel 38 with me. Stay tuned. Thank you. This is the third and final broadcast on Ezekiel 38 and America. The last time I read through verse 12 of Ezekiel 38 and then began to reread it phrase by phrase in order to see what land on earth best fit the description of what is called in verse 8 the mountains of Israel. A very high percentage of prophecy preachers interpret that land to be the present-day land of Palestine, and they say that Gog and Magog and all his bands will invade Jewish-occupied Palestine in the end of this age. I say no, the land described in Ezekiel 38 as the target of attack by Gog and Magog are the nations of Christendom, primarily Western Europe and North America. I'll recap briefly what we covered in the last few minutes last time, then I'll offer our free radio packet of literature and continue in Ezekiel 38. In verse 8, the time of this invasion is given as the latter years. I believe that means the years of the end of this age, and it is the last 75 years, which has seen the rise to a global power of the lands of China and Russia and related nations. These, I believe, are here described under the terms Gog, the land of Magog or the Mongols, Meshach, and Tubal. The land to be invaded is said to be a land gathered out of many people. That fits North America, especially the United States and Canada. They even call us the melting pot nation because of the diverse people here. In the case of Palestine, the gathering there in the last 40 years has been of only one people, the Jews. No others are allowed to obtain citizenship in Israel. One phrase referring to the land to be invaded is, which have always been waste. That does not apply to Palestine at all, since it has never been waste or desolate or unoccupied since the dawn of time. However, North America was a waste, an almost deserted howling wilderness, until it was found, colonized, and developed by our Christian forefathers from Europe. Now we will go on from verse 9 and make further comparisons. Before I do that, I will offer our free radio packet. This is still the September packet, and the last time I will offer it. You can have it by writing to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the September packet, and I will send you a number of items, including a short article, Christianity, Religion of the West, in which Professor Revelo Oliver offers the theory that the Christian religion is the unique possession of what he calls Western or Occidental man, and that the men of the East or the Orientals cannot understand it. Therefore, they have never accepted Christianity in any meaningful manner. His arguments are quite startling. They do have a bearing on what you should or should not do in relation to missionary work. This article should be read by every Christian American. I'll also send the pamphlet, The Meaning of the Word Gentile as Used in the Bible. Pastor Curtis Clare Ewing of Spokane, Washington, did this study, and I thought it was so important for our radio listeners that I have included it in the September packet. Since the second article is about the Gentiles, the next one is about the Jews, titled The Origins of the Jews. All of these can be had free and postpaid to you by writing to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The address will be repeated at the end of the broadcast. Ask for the September free radio packet. All right, back to Ezekiel 38, going on in verse 9. God is continuing to speak to these forces of Gog and Magog. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Now, this is not a description of the land to be invaded. However, it does give us a word picture of the massiveness of the invasion itself. It is to be like a cloud to cover the land. This would indicate that every part of the land would be invaded or covered by the invaders. For fulfillment, that would require a tremendous force. It says, all thy bands and many people with thee. Now think about that for a moment. If we are right that the names in verses 2 and 3 stand for Russia, China, and Eastern Europe, and that Persia in verse 5 stands for the people of the Persian Empire in the Mideast, and Ethiopia and Libya for the peoples of Africa, then this invasion of the mountains of Israel would have to be a massive invasion of great numbers of people from all of those vast areas of the world. Remember, Jewish occupied Palestine, the inhabited area, not counting the desolate and uninhabited desert in the conquered territories in the south, is about the size of our state of New Hampshire. This inhabited area of Israeli is only about 1/8 the size of the nation of Afghanistan, which the Soviets occupied and are in the process of destroying with only 100,000 troops. The symbolic words used in Ezekiel 38 and verse 9 seem to indicate a vast, mighty invading army, not of tens of thousands, but possibly tens of millions from these Asian and African areas. Anyway, let's go on in Ezekiel 38. I'll have more to say about their numbers later. Verse 10 and 11. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates. So the invaded land is said to be, quote, the land of unwalled villages. Again, this does not fit Palestine. Not only do many of its cities and villages have walls around them, but all of them are now literally surrounded by walls of military defenses. Everything from barbed wire to minefields, on its borders, and in areas where invaders might come. On the other hand, North America has no walled villages. That type of town was left in Europe by our forefathers. They are also said to be at rest that dwell safely. That is the same word used in the last phrase of verse 8 and again in verse 14. It means a people who dwell without fear or without care. Certainly, Israeli does not fit, for its people are knowledgeable of their danger, and they have reacted to protect themselves from it. They know their enemies may attack them, so they have built a tremendous military defense, not only of barbed wire walls and minefields, but with cannon, tanks, fighter planes, and missiles. However, in America, this is not so. We are, in fact, disarming and destroying our military. And even while we disarm, and while our top military generals testify in Congress that they do not have the weapons nor the men to defend America from an invasion, the vast majority of our people dwell without care, without fear, without seeming to have any understanding that we could be attacked and invaded by the forces of the Soviet Union. The people dwell without care. The last of verse 11 says, this invaded land is without walls and having neither bars nor gates. All of these phrases have a military meaning. No walls, no defense, no bars or gates, no method of keeping out the invaders. In the case of the invasion, which is already underway of America by millions of aliens from Southeast Asia, from Cuba, from Haiti, from Central America, our bars and gates have already been thrown down. Our Border Patrol and other agencies, which used to keep aliens out or catch them after they got in, are unable to function. They have lost all control of the U.S. borders, and the flood of aliens is coming in almost like a cloud to cover the land. Russia invaded Afghanistan with 100,000 troops. The number of people who have invaded America in the last 5 years has been estimated not at 100,000, but possibly 10 million. Some newspaper columnists have projected the present rate of migration to America into the 1900s and tell us that 100 million could conceivably come into America in the next 15 years. In scores of American cities, the recent inhabitants of Asia, Central America, and Africa would soon constitute a majority and could then take over the cities. But someone says, Pastor Emery, this is not an invading army. These are civilians. They don't wear uniforms, and they are not shooting their way into the country. No, I did not say they were. I did not even say they were soldiers. I do say they are an army. Our soldiers fought what they called Viet Cong guerrillas in South Vietnam for almost 10 years. Over 50,000 of our soldiers were killed, over 250,000 wounded or maimed for life. We finally lost after spending $25 billion, and the Viet Cong conquered the country. Yet not one of our American soldiers ever shot at an enemy in uniform. The Viet Cong were dressed like civilians, just like the rest of the South Vietnamese population. Yet they were an army. And if you will carefully read all of the first part of Ezekiel 38, that part describing the invasion like a cloud to cover the land, you will read nothing about war or about warfare, not even about killings. All it really says is that the invaders will come in like a cloud to cover the land. That is in verse 9, and it is repeated in verse 16, and in between those verses, there is nothing to indicate physical warfare at all. Could this invasion prophesied here in Ezekiel 38 be something other than an invasion by an army of soldiers firing weapons? Could it be simply an invasion of civilians from lands described in verse 2, verse 3, and verse 5, coming into the land of Israel and just taking over by sheer weight of numbers? Yes, it could be just that, for no formal warfare is described in Ezekiel 38 until we get way down to verse 21, and there we find the warfare is not by the invader against the Israelites, but by God Almighty against the invader. And thank God for that. So really, the invasion described in Ezekiel 38 is or could be quite a peaceful one. The present invasion of the United States and of Canada, and to some extent of Western Europe and England, by millions of alien civilians, continued over a long period of years, would exactly fit the type of invasion described in Ezekiel 38. All right. In verse 12 and 13, the reason for the invasion is given. To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? It seems quite plain from these two verses that the invaders have as their purpose the taking of the wealth of the invaded land, to take a spoil, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil. Now think with me for a moment. Does it make any sense that the Soviet Union, or even China, would spend hundreds of billions of dollars to train and equip an army to invade the land of Palestine for the plunder it would gain from that tiny land? Not much sense in that, is there, since the total wealth of Palestine would not even pay for the cost of those armies. To fit the scripture here, the land invaded would have to have some immense wealth, enough that the invader would have come expressly for that wealth. For twice, that is given as the reason for the invasion, and no other reason is given. In the case of Palestine, the incongruity of the preaching that Russia would invade it for its wealth is made more ridiculous when one realizes that the surrounding Arab nations have so much more wealth than Palestine that if Russia were planning any invasion in that area to obtain wealth, it would be of the Arab nations, not that of the Jewish state in Palestine. Some do, however, try to make a case for great wealth in Palestine by pointing to the mineral wealth in the Dead Sea, which I've heard some ministers state as $5 trillion, and they will add, that is more than the value of all the land and improvements in the rest of the world. That immediately raises a question. If there is vast obtainable wealth in the Dead Sea, why are not the present inhabitants, who are quite good in science and mechanics, making use of it? Why must the present inhabitants, if they have this great wealth there, obtain several billions in aid every year from the United States to maintain their economy? The answer is that the wealth of the Dead Sea is a myth, an invention, an illusion, or perhaps more correctly, it should be called a delusion. It is true the Dead Sea water contains a high concentration of minerals, which theoretically could be removed from the water and used or sold. However, so do the vast oceans of the earth. The problem is that it costs more to remove them from the water than they can be sold for once they are removed. And even if they were not, to whom would one sell $5 trillion worth of minerals to anyway? The world economy would absorb only a few hundred million dollars worth of it each year, and it would conceivably take upwards of 1,000 years to remove and sell the Dead Sea minerals. Of the $5 trillion of supposed value, perhaps $50 billion would be net profit after all of those years. No, the vast wealth of the Dead Sea is a myth. Here is a rather simple way to explain this delusion. Several years ago, when we built here in Arizona, I purchased 15 truckloads of topsoil for dressing on the future lawn area. That dirt, which is taken from the farm areas of Maricopa County, costs today about $5 a yard delivered. In those areas, this dirt, actually it is silt, in what was once the bottom of an ancient sea, is anywhere from 8 feet to 30 feet deep over our irrigated land areas. Since we have 600,000 acres of irrigated land in Maricopa County, which is about 2.5 billion square feet of land, we could remove that topsoil over the whole 600,000 acres and obtain 1 trillion cubic yards of dirt, which would then be sold for $5 per yard, and presto chango, we would have $5 trillion, and we would all be rich. The comparison here is obvious. There is no market for trillions of dollars worth of our dirt, and there is no present market for trillions of dollars worth of minerals which are still in solution in the Dead Sea. I personally think the communists are smart enough to know that. Where does that leave us? Well, since the land to be invaded in Ezekiel 38 must be a land of great wealth real wealth, such as cattle and goods, called in verse 13 a great spoil, we obviously must look for a land other than Palestine to fit the prophecy. Let's look for a moment at this invasion of America I have been describing, the one that is already going on. What are these people coming to America for? Up until a few years ago, many of them seemed to be genuine refugees from the wars and the killings of the communists. Now, in recent years, we are realizing that many are coming not to escape some oppressive collectivism such as socialism or communism, but to escape a low standard of living, even poverty. They are coming to America to get wealth. That is what God said the armies, and I have already explained they do not have to be uniformed soldiers. That is what God said the armies of Gog and Magog would invade the lands of Israel for, to obtain wealth. If you were a poor person living in Africa, Asia, or even Latin or South America, and you wanted to go to a land where there seemed to be an abundance of wealth, to what land would you go? The question is easily answered. You would go to one of the Anglo-Saxon or kindred nations, for they, of all the nations of the earth, produce an abundance of the things which people call wealth. Even if you disregarded the millions of individuals and looked only to the leaders of this mighty force described in Ezekiel 38, to Gog and his cohorts of the land of Magog, and accrue to them the desire to plunder the wealth of the nation, which land would they invade to obtain wealth? They've already eliminated Palestine. The very idea is ridiculous. But America is different. The most productive farmland on earth. Only the United States and Canada produce more food than they need for their own people. Every other nation on earth either imports food or its people actually starve. America has the most factories, the most highly developed computer and electronic industry in the world, the best communication systems, the best rivers, harbors, and inland waterways, the best road system, the best trucks, train and air transportation systems in the world, and a population with the educational and technical know-how to run it and to improve it. What land in all the world would be the best from which to obtain a great spoil and a great prey? America, Canada, even Western Europe, lands inhabited by the Anglo-Saxons. They are the lands described in Ezekiel 38. And the invasion of these Christian nations of the West is not future. It has already begun. Well, I think I have made my point. You read the rest of Ezekiel 38 and 39, for the rest of it is a prophecy of God's intervention and our deliverance as a people, as we read in verse 21 through 23. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him, and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God will fight for his people. That day will come only when we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Then God will hear our prayers in heaven, and he will forgive our sin, and he will heal our land. I do not know when that will be. I know only that it shall be. God has promised it, descended from Israel. This is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.